Good morning, everyone. This morning we're in Numbers chapter 17. And after number 16, you might recall that in that chapter, there was great difficulty in the people challenging Moses' leadership. And the sons of Korah put up a big challenge, and God punished them and showed miraculously that they needed to honor Moses as a leader. There was a real struggle in leading God's people, and sometimes kind of a mob mentality of the people would question Moses and his leadership and get away, and they would then go awry. So it was really important that the leaders in this day and age and era were recognized. And that's what we have again here in really in number 17 and 18. And we're going to be only covering 17 today. But God does something miraculous and gives a permanent remembrance so that they would know that they're supposed to follow both Moses and now Aaron. And then what I want to do is, after we take a look at this short chapter, is talk about what that looks like today, because I think things have changed quite a bit today. So, number 17, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and get from them a rod for each father's household, 12 rods from all their leaders according to their father's household." So they're going to get 12 rods, staffs, so to speak, that are going to represent the 12 different tribes. "You shall write each name on his rod, and write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi, for there is one rod for the head of each of the father's households. You shall then deposit them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I meet with you. It will come about that the rod of the man whom I choose will sprout. This will lessen from upon myself the grumblings of the sons of Israel, who are grumbling against you." Moses therefore spoke to the sons of Israel, and all their leaders gave them a rod apiece for each leader according to their father's households, 12 rods, with the rod of Aaron among their rods. So Moses deposited the rods before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. Now, on the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. So miraculously, it grew, you know, the fruit of these almonds. Moses then brought out all of the rods from the presence of the Lord to all the sons of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his rod. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put an end to their grumblings against me, so that they will not die." Thus Moses did, just as the Lord had commanded, so he did. Then the sons of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, "Behold," this kind of goes to a different topic. So let me just pause there, and then I'll read the next couple of verses. But imagine coming out of the testimony, the Ark of the Testimony, with those rods, and only one of them was changed, and it was Aaron's, and it magnificently sprouted and actually even produced almonds. It was a miracle, and it happened in one day. And it showed that Aaron and the tribe of Levi have been given special authority over the tabernacle, and that other people are not supposed to have that role in the tabernacle, so that God would, you know, they would know, and that they would honor Aaron and Moses, their leadership. Now, what happened next, it says, "Then the sons of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, 'Behold, we perish, we are dying, we are all dying. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord must die. Are we to perish completely?'" So it seems as though they're still learning that when it comes to the tabernacle, the common man needs to stay out, and only Aaron and the Levites and Moses are supposed to deal with the ministry of the tabernacle. And they were there to offer sacrifices on behalf of the nation Israel. So when the nation Israel sinned, Moses and Aaron, the priests, and then the Levites more so in caring for the tabernacle and carrying it when they moved, but they would make those sacrifices in order to atone for the sins of the Israel community. So they would prevent God's wrath or God from being upset when they made mistakes because they would do what was necessary in the sacrificial system to atone for Israel's sin. So they are learning about the special authority that these guys had, and they needed to honor them. Now, that's important because, in all their grumblings and complaints, the community was going awry and they needed recognized leadership. Now, what I want to say though is that things have really changed, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in the next chapter 18. But you might recall, and just briefly share that, God's original design is that we would be a kingdom of priests, and yet because of their sinfulness, the Levites only ended up handling the tabernacle, and only Aaron and his sons at this stage are priests. But God had always desired that we would be a kingdom of priests, which is something that he's established now in the church, where all of us are servants of God's kingdom, and we all have access to God. Unlike here, where only the priests have access to God, now God lives inside of all of us. So it's really quite different. And we also don't have leaders and priests like we had Moses and Aaron in that day. There definitely was a hierarchy, and a hierarchy was needed in that day, but in our day, it's not like that. And it's not that we don't have leaders, but it's not the same as the kind of authority that Moses and Aaron and the priests had of that day. And I want to talk to you about how do we do this today? How do we be the church, be a kingdom of priests, and yet still have leaders, and yet not having those leaders be the ultimate authority, because ultimately, God is our authority. I want to read to you briefly from 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is what Peter says. He says, therefore, in verse 1, I exhort the elders among you. And, we believe that churches are to be run by a plurality of elders, meaning a pastor is an elder, and then there are other elders, and that those are the authority in the church. It's not one person lording it over everybody else, but rather there's a collective team of elders who, serve God's church and are the leaders of the church. Now, how do we look at those leaders though, and how did let's take a look. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder. Now that's really interesting. Peter is calling himself simply a fellow elder. He's just one of them. Now, I would say that it's important to recognize that the apostles did have a special authority, and they were able to write the word of God, like what we're reading now in Peter. But after they passed along, we don't have a hierarchy of elders anymore. And the Paul and the things that you'll hear me say today and from the God's word and Peter, they really did a good job of expressing that they're, even though they did have a special authority, they're proclaiming themselves as like fellow workers, fellow elders, and that ultimately what we're all doing is following Jesus. He is our Lord. He is the one that we worship. We don't worship leaders. Leaders will let you down. And if you put all of your emphasis on worshiping a leader, well, a leader's human, and leaders are going to let you down. And the one that we are to worship is God and his son Jesus Christ and them alone. So anyways, Peter says, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now he was an apostle who witnessed the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. It says, shepherd the flock of God among you, overseeing not under compulsion, but willingly, according to God, and not for dishonest gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to you, but being examples of the flock. So an elder today, which is just, I'm just one of them in our church, a plurality of elders, we are not to lord it over those, but be examples. And, you know, in this day, yes, God wanted Moses and Aaron to be highly recognized as authoritative leaders of the community. But now, even though people are recognized as leaders, they're not lording it over those, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And God recognizes that we are leaders. Now, later on, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, as God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So there still was a level of authority that the elders had, but all of them were supposed to be humble with one another. I want to share with you a few other passages to express this today. The next one that I want to share with you comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Now, this passage may be one of the strongest in still providing some respect to elders on a higher plane, but yet, as we've already said, they're not to lord it over. So listen, the elders who lead well are to be considered worthy of double honor, which means everyone's supposed to have honor. We're supposed to honor one another. But the elders are supposed to have worthy of double honor, especially those who labor at preaching the word and teaching. So that's important that there is some level of respect still given for leadership. But let me share with you the way that those leaders act. I mean, that's what God wants for the people, is still to recognize leaders. But the leaders themselves, listen to the way that Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, for when one says, I am of Paul, meaning like, well, I follow Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to each one. Paul says here, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, meaning Paul and Apollos, is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and leaders should work together, but each will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field building. So Paul, even though he was a leader, he was saying really ultimately the one that is making things grow is God. And we are all just fellow workers of God, and we are fellow workers of God. This one's a really strong one in kind of an emphasis that I'm trying to share today. Listen to this, and this is really interesting. Matthew chapter 23, and it says that this, listen to this. Jesus is now kind of looking down on and condemning the Levitical, Pharisaical leadership system of the Jews. And he says, then Jesus spoke, verses 23, verse 1 of Matthew, then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. You know, they're trying to make it sound like they need to be worshipped like Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and keep. Meaning they were trying to keep that hierarchical authority, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are willing to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. and they love the places of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, capital O-N-E, by the way, is your teacher, and you are all brothers. See, this is what we're all brothers today. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not be called instructors, for one is your instructor, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Isn't that interesting? So here this is Jesus speaking, and he's basically saying, you know, we don't need the hierarchical fatherly priestly system that the Pharisees elevated themselves. You are now all brothers, and ultimately the one that you're supposed to follow as the instructor is Christ. Now, praise God when we have good leaders and we have good elders and they are supposed to be good examples, but not in a lording it over way, but in a humble way. They're supposed to try to embody and reflect, you know, Jesus to us, but ultimately the one that we follow is Jesus. So even though Aaron's staff budded and there needed to be recognized hierarchical leadership in the Old Testament, today we don't have that in that same way. When we do have elders and leaders, they're collectively working together, and God has elevated all of us to a kingdom of priests. We still recognize people who are godly in our midst, and we do show honor and respect to them, but ultimately the one that we follow is Christ, and that's something that's different today. Don't call me Father Jay. I don't think that's not appropriate, and people don't do that, by the way, anyways. But we are all, I'm a fellow worker with you, working to serve the Lord and the King of Kings. I hope this is helpful to you. God bless you all.